Martin, what is smart underwear?
This is a development that we are working on as a result of the newly funded AHFMR team grant that's led by Vivian Mouchois and Dick Stein, and is looking at the way that we can stimulate the muscles in the buttock area of people who have a spinal cord injury and certain other neurological conditions who are at risk of developing pressure ulcers associated with sitting. People who have a spinal cord injury lose sensation and the ability to move their muscles in the way that we do when we typically sit at a desk or a computer workstation and wriggle around and allow the tissues to be provided with the necessary nutrition to keep them healthy. Because they are unable to sense the discomfort that we usually feel, which stimulates a movement, then their tissues can be at risk of being deprived of oxygen for too long. And this can then result in an ulcer, and this is a serious problem that can result in periods of prolonged bed rest and extensive treatments.
So fidgeting is good?
Fidgeting is really good in terms of keeping those tissues healthy and well-nourished.
Now, it looks like you've done some mapping. What does the mapping do?
The mapping gives us information about the way that the forces that are generated when we sit on a cushion are distributed. And what we're looking for is a reasonably uniform distribution of pressure underneath the buttock area when we're sitting on a cushion. And what the mapping system does is give us information about where the forces are localized, and we know that they tend to be localized over the bony areas, such as the ischial tuberosities or the sitting bones that we sit on.
So you call this smart underwear, but is it actually underwear or just a cushion?
No, the concept will be that this will be underwear. And what it will do is contain stimulators that will stimulate the muscles of the person who is paralyzed so that we simulate some of the fidgeting movements that a person with sensation would normally make. What the underwear will contain is principally the stimulating electrodes to get the muscles to contract. And then secondarily will be sensors which will look at the status of the tissues and so help to inform the stimulator when it needs to be active. So what we'd be looking for is situations which in a way represent what we do with our sensation, but in our case we'll be looking at changes in the metabolic status of the tissue. And so as we find that the period of time that the oxygen has been depleted from the tissue becomes too long through measurements made with sensors in the underwear, then the underwear will then create an electrical stimulation and stimulate the muscles and then allow those tissues to be re-nourished again.
Now, how does that work with people who are paralyzed or bedridden and they have incontinence problems?
Well, from an electrical safety standpoint, this is not a problem at all. The voltages that we're using and so on are all very low, and so incontinence doesn't represent any kind of risk. It could result in a reliability issue for the system, and so there may be periods when the presence of urine, for example, could cause the system to stop working. This is not nearly as common as you would imagine, in that people with spinal cord injury usually have very well managed continence, and so it would be a rare occurrence that we would see a problem like this occurring.
I understand this is Alberta technology. Where was it developed?
The technology that we're talking about, the electrical stimulation technology and the concept of this underwear, is something that's been developed among the team here, the neuroprosthetics team here at U of A. But really, it's very much a team effort. There are colleagues of ours who are in Calgary who are contributing to the project, also people elsewhere around the world, colleagues in the UK, for example, who have been looking at stimulation techniques like this as well. So this is very much an international team initiative, and what we expect is that this technology will be rolled out as an Alberta product at the end of the day.
Now, you're targeting people with spinal cord injuries, but is this something that you could see in the future being applied to anyone who is bedridden, say, elderly patients?
It's possible, but the needs of people who are for example, elderly or very frail who are at risk in a situation where they're being cared for in terms of bed rest, are usually much more complex than the situation we're describing with someone sitting in a chair. For example, other body sites are very much at risk. So the area around the tailbone is particularly vulnerable when people are being nursed long-term in bed. And this technology is not likely to reduce the conditions that result in what we call a sacral pressure ulcer or one around the tailbone. And another area that we know is very much at risk are the heels. And again, this technology, as it stands, is unlikely to be able to help us in preventing pressure ulcers at sites like this. So it has a very specific focus at the moment, but some of the things that we learn from this project almost certainly will be applicable to some of these other areas. So for example, although the electrical stimulation component may not be applicable in these other areas, the sensors that we develop could be extremely useful in caring for people who are in the more complex sort of bed rest type situations where they're at risk.
What stage are you at in its development?
Well, we've actually done quite a lot of work. The electrical stimulation component we've been demonstrating today, and we're just getting the project started in terms of it being a team grant. So with a team grant, we're bringing together a lot of initial preliminary pilot work and aggregating that into a focused team effort. So the electrical stimulation component has quite a lot of work in place already. Some of the sensing technologies that we're going to be using have also been demonstrated at a sort of a clinical laboratory level. So a lot of the effort over the next year or so is going to be concentrating on bringing that technology into something we can deploy in a clinical setting. And so that is usually one of the greatest challenges. The robustness, the need for it to be a simple to use system are all good engineering technological challenges that this team is very well equipped to address and will be the key things that make a difference as to how successful we are at the end of the day.
Thank you very much, Martin.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.